What's the first priority of the Christian life? Stay tuned. Renewing Your Mind with Dr. R.C. Sproul is next. Welcome to this Thursday edition of Renewing Your Mind with author, teacher, and theologian Dr. R.C. Sproul. When a person becomes a Christian, priorities suddenly change. A whole new way of life begins. Church attendance, Bible reading, and praying are just a few of the things that mark the Christian life. But what ought to be our first priority as Christians? Today on Renewing Your Mind, we'll be listening to a message from Dr. Sproul given during the Ligonier Ministries 2007 cruise. In today's lecture, Dr. Sproul discusses the biblical doctrine of seeking as a lifelong pursuit for Christians. With more on that, here's our teacher.
Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. And then in chapter 6, verse 31, we read, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What you've heard, dear friends, is not the collective wisdom of ancient Hebrew scholars, but you have heard the veritable word of God himself. He who has ears to hear it, let them hear. I'd like to begin this evening at the back and work backwards to the beginning, looking first at that addition I read from chapter 6. Both of these texts are found within the broader context of the Sermon on the Mount, where verse 31 of chapter 6, our Lord gave an admonition to those who heard him not to worry. And the things about which people were concerned and were worried were the material things of this world, what they would eat, what they would wear, in other words, what they would possess and keep them healthy in their bodies. But Jesus set in contrast to those things that are the usual priorities of human pursuit, this admonition. But I say to you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Now that injunction by our Lord begins with the word seek. And last evening in our first lecture for the series that we're having this week, we examined somewhat the whole concept of seeking as it's set forth in the New Testament and how radically different it is from contemporary ideas that we find in the church, where unbelievers are thought to be seeking the things of God, where Scripture says that that is not what they are seeking. They are seeking the benefits that only God can give them, all the while they are fugitives from God himself. And I mentioned last night that the seeking of God begins with conversion, and that the seeking of God is the main business of the Christian's life. And that pursuit of God does not end until we reach our final destination in glory. And so it is that Jesus, in setting forth the priorities of Christian life and Christian growth says seek, that is pursue, search for first. And the word that is used here in the text is the Greek word protos, which does not mean simply first in chronological order, but rather the emphasis here is on priority. And so Jesus is saying simply, make it your chief or first priority to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So there are two things that take our priority that are wed inseparably to each other. That is the seeking the kingdom of God and the seeking after his righteousness. Now, if there's any concept or any theme that unites both the Old Testament and the New Testament, it is the theme of the kingdom of God, which the Old Testament prophets foretold would be coming in the future. And we know that at the beginning of the New Testament, John the Baptist, as the herald of Christ, comes out of the desert calling the people to repent. For what reason? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's not something in the distant future. It's not something that will come at the final day of human history, but that this kingdom of God is ready to break through right now. He uses two metaphors. He says, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. The idea there is that the woodsman picks up his axe and he goes to the tree and he begins to chip away first at the outer bark, and then as the axe penetrates deeper and deeper into the wood, finally the axe hits the center core of the tree. And the image that John is giving here is that one more strike from the axe will cause the tree to come crashing down. In like manner, he said, his fan is in his hand. That's not the fan that people use when they go to the opera to keep themselves cool in a relaxed state, but it's the winnowing fan. The moment of the separation of the wheat from the chaff, the decisive moment, is taking place when the farmer goes where the grain has been piled there in the winnowing floor containing both the wheat and the chaff. And the way in which the wheat and the chaff are separated from each other is not by looking at them individually and say, here's a piece of chaff, here's a piece of wheat. That would take forever for one harvest. But rather, since the chaff was lighter than the grain, the farmer would take the winnowing fork and put it into the pile and just throw it up in the air, and the slightest breeze would do the labor for the farmer, and it would carry the chaff away and allow the wheat to settle to the ground. And so John uses that metaphor again to talk about the radical nearness of the coming of the kingdom of God. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, his message was the same message: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I don't know why it is that we tend to miss this. If we look at the word gospel in the New Testament, in the first instance, the good news that is proclaimed both by John the Baptist and by Jesus is the gospel of the kingdom that is breaking through. Jesus said to his disciples about his ministry of exorcism, if you see me casting out Satan by the finger of God, then you know what? The kingdom of God has come upon you. And so he announced the breakthrough of this marvelous kingdom. The first priority of the Christian life is to seek the kingdom of God. And then added to that directly by Jesus is this: and his righteousness. His righteousness. Again, it's almost as if Jesus had never uttered those words as far as what is front and center in the discussions and debates of contemporary Christianity in America, particularly. I've been in education for over 40 years, most of that time in the seminary. And I've had, I think, every conceivable theological question asked to me by students. But I'm still waiting for the first student to come to me and say, Professor, please help me. Teach me. How can I be righteous? Never heard that. Now, that may say more about me than it does my students. They look at me and they say, why would I ask him about righteousness? That could be the reason, but I really don't think it is. You know, I hear Christian people talk about being spiritual. I hear them speak about being ethical. I hear them talking about morality. But a word that's almost completely disappeared from our vocabulary is this word righteousness. And yet our Lord said, first of all, in order of importance, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will take care of itself. Do you understand that at the top priority of our lives, dear friends, in our quest for spiritual growth, is the pursuit of righteousness. Now, that word may have a negative connotation because in our society, as well as in the biblical culture, there is a counterfeit righteousness from which we are to flee rather than to seek. There is that arrogant self-righteousness that described the Pharisees and describe those among us who are holier than thou. And these people have given righteousness a bad name. And yet if we look to the Scriptures as the source of our marching orders, we see that Scripture, far from denigrating the idea of righteousness, exalts it to the top of the list of our priorities. Now, that's the end of the story. Let's go back to what I read in the beginning, which is worse, where we read in chapter 5, verse 20, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." There are many passages in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the theologians categorize under the heading of the phrases durioris, that is, the hard sayings. They may be hard because they're difficult to understand, or may be hard because they seem to us, at least at first blush, to be harsh. This is one of the hard sayings. But notice again how Jesus introduces it. First of all, he says, "For I say to you." Oh, I'm so glad that when I have the responsibility of preaching the hard sayings, I don't have to begin by saying, "Now listen, you people, you listen to what I have to say here," as if this were my idea. This is not my idea. This is Jesus teaching here. This is your Lord. Hear what he has to say. He says, "For I say to you." And whatever he's about to say, he begins with a very important word. It is the word unless. Now, let's not pass over that too quickly. The term unless signals that what is coming is what we may call a necessary condition. In philosophy, we distinguish between necessary conditions and sufficient conditions. To make it simple, let's think of starting a fire. When you're having a barbecue or you want to start a fire in the fireplace, one of the necessary conditions you have to have in order to start the fire is the presence of oxygen. If there is no oxygen, you can't get things to burn, at least not in ordinary circumstances such as we're concerned about with barbecues and log fires in the fireplace. Oxygen is a necessary condition. That is, without it, we cannot have the desired result. Its presence is a prerequisite. In this case, it's a sine qua non. You have to have it or you won't get the desired effect of a blazing fire. Here's the good news. Though oxygen is a necessary condition for starting a fire, it's not a sufficient condition. That is, oxygen itself will not start something burning. If it were a sufficient condition, what would that mean? That we would all go up in smoke, because all we have is the presence of oxygen, we would all burst into flames. So you see the difference between a necessary condition. You have to have it, but its mere presence doesn't guarantee the result. But the word unless indicates a necessary condition. Now notice what Jesus is speaking about in terms of this necessary condition. It's necessary for what? It's necessary for entering the kingdom of God. Now, if Jesus says that something is necessary for you to enter in the kingdom of God, I think we need to underline that in red, that we don't want to miss it. If there's a necessary condition, just as Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless a man is born of the Spirit, he cannot even see the kingdom of God, let alone enter into the kingdom of God, where our Lord said that regeneration is a necessary condition for entering into the kingdom of heaven. Now he's giving us another necessary condition. And listen to what it is. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will in no way enter the kingdom of God. Now remember, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Your righteousness has to be greater, more excessive than the righteousness of the Pharisees. Now, there's a couple ways we could look at this. One gets us off the hook very easily. The other one puts us on the hook in a very, very uncomfortable way. But first of all, let us not underestimate what is being said. We look back at the New Testament and we see that the people who were the most fierce enemies of Jesus were the scribes and the Pharisees. They are infamous to us in Christian history, so that we think that they are the epitome of wickedness and of unrighteousness. And there's a certain irony there, because we recall that the Pharisees were called Pharisees because their sect began in the intertestamental period when secularism was eating away at the true religion of the Hebrew people. And there was this group of people who were so committed to recovering the orthodox religion of Judaism. These were the reformers, these were the conservatives, these were the evangelicals of their day, that they separated themselves to the singular devotion of the pursuit of righteousness. That was their singular task, the pursuit of righteousness. And yet with their devotion, with their zeal, with their dedication to prayer, their righteousness failed them. And Jesus says to those who heard them, you need greater righteousness than that, or you will in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Now, I said there are two different ways to understand Jesus' teaching here. One of them gets us off the hook and gives us a chance to breathe a sigh of relief. The other one puts us squarely back on the hook. The first one is that we could interpret this, as some biblical scholars do, as Jesus giving a cryptic reference to the doctrine of justification by faith alone, saying you need a righteousness that is so superior to the scribes and Pharisees, and your righteousness in the sight of God is filthy rags, and the only righteousness that'll get you into the kingdom of God is indeed a righteousness that is well beyond the scribes and the Pharisees, namely my righteousness, which you will receive and with which you will be clothed the moment you put your faith in me. Hence, the New Testament refers to Jesus on one occasion as being our righteousness. Oh, if that's what Jesus is referring to, simply a cryptic reference to the doctrine of justification by faith alone, in which when we put our trust in Christ, his perfect righteousness, his perfect obedience is imputed to us by faith, then we have all the righteousness we'll ever need to get into the kingdom of God. And dear friends, I hope for my sake and for yours that that's what Jesus was talking about. And I have to confess, I don't think it was. I desperately hope I'm wrong here. But I think that what Jesus was getting at is that there is a righteousness that in no way, dear friends, is the ground of your justification, but indeed is the fruit of your justification. Martin Luther, when he insisted that justification is by faith alone, appended to that affirmation by saying these words, justification is by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. That the moment you put your trust in Christ, in that moment, Christ declares you just, you are adopted into the family of God, you are forgiven of all of your sins, and your Christian pilgrimage of sanctification begins that instant. And the fruit of that justification is the fruit of righteousness. What if it's not there? If there's no righteousness, then there's no faith. And if there's no faith, there is no justification. And you are still in your sins. Again, not for one second, looking to our own righteousness or to our own works as the ground of our justification. Our works contribute absolutely nothing to that. Show me your faith by righteousness. Because unless that righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, there's no way you will enter into the kingdom of God.
You're listening to Renewing Your Mind with Dr. R.C. Sproul. If you're a listener to Renewing Your Mind and you've never contacted us before, then we'd like to give you a free pocket edition of Dr. Sproul's book, The Holiness of God. This book has become a classic in its own time, written by a teacher who's passionate about proclaiming the holiness of God in all its fullness. Again, The Holiness of God pocket edition book is free to anyone contacting us for the first time. So call now. Our toll-free number is 1-800-435-4343. That number again is 1-800-435-4343. When you contact us, please be sure to mention the call letters of the radio station where you heard our broadcast. Today's message by Dr. Sproul was from Ligonier Ministries' 2007 New England and Canada Cruise. The theme for that event was Developing Christian Character. If you'd like to study more on that topic, Dr. Sproul has recorded a 12-part teaching series dealing with the fruit of the Spirit, listed in Galatians chapter 5. He also addresses aspects of Christian growth, such as our assurance of salvation and our confidence in the sovereignty of God. The Developing Christian Character series is available on CDs for $45. To order any of the resources mentioned or to make a donation, simply call 1-800-435-4343. Again, that's 1-800-435-4343. Or if you prefer, you can log on to our website at ligonier.org. That's ligonier.org. If you're looking for a vacation filled with the beauty of God's creation and the wonders of His Word, then join us on the Ligonier Ministries 2008 Alaska Discovery Cruise, June 15th through the 22nd. Enjoy 7 days of breathtaking views aboard the MS Vesterdam. Experience the beautiful Alaskan coastline with stops in Glacier Bay National Park, Juneau, Sitka, Ketchikan, and finally in Victoria, BC, Canada. All this, coupled with a week-long study of God's sovereignty and salvation with Dr. Sproul. It's not too early to start making plans. There's an early bird discount for those who register before December 31st, 2007. For more details, call us at 1-800-435-4343 or visit our website for a detailed full-color brochure. That website again is ligonier.org, ligonier.org. What would you do if you had to appear before the King with dirty clothes? Join us tomorrow as Dr. Sproul tells the gospel in a way that even a child can understand. That's our time for today. Thank you for being with us. You're listening to Renewing Your Mind, the listener-supported radio outreach of Ligonier Ministries with Dr. R.C. Sproul.